Psalm 71, our portion today is verses 1 through 13. These are God's words. In you, O Yahweh, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my help, O Lord Yahweh. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed, who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor, who seek my hurt. So for the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word, the psalmist is under attack, and he's praying that those who are attacking him would be put to shame, that their desires and confidence and attempts, designs, and actions would all be frustrated and turned on their head and come back upon them. It's the same theme, then, that we saw in Psalm 70. If you have your Bible open, you can see verse 2 and 3, let them be ashamed and confused who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of their shame. And the Holy Spirit, in the way that he has caused our psalters to be put together, has often done this, where there's a superscript for one psalm, and then the next psalm on the same theme does not have the superscript, because it is on the same theme. So we're still in a situation where he is under attack and praying that he would be able, that he would be delivered so that he may praise the Lord, but especially that his attackers would be put to shame. Now, some of the details in this psalm are new. Obviously, it's a much longer psalm than Psalm 70. And one of the things that we'll see today, or we have already heard as we read, and then we'll see again in 2 weeks' time when we finish up the psalm, is that this is coming to him in the time of his old age. Now, when we are old and we are less capable, even our minds don't work like they used to, and our bodies don't work like they used to, and those who were our peers, those who knew us and respected us, many of them have departed from this world. There's a new generation that often does not think of us. Old age can be a frightening time and a weak time. But if it was never other people whom you were hoping would remember you, and if it was never your own mental or physical or even spiritual ability that was your strength, then old age would not be a time of weakness. And so God gives us trouble in old age to turn us back to himself. He is in trouble, and yet he is crying out, verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. The Lord is his strength, even in old age. And as he is thinking that, as he is praying that, he remembers back past when he was younger, in his maybe late teens and early 20s, when his mental and physical powers were at their peak, and we have an illusion of strength at that time, an illusion of being able to depend on our own strength, because we're fools. And we often look around in comparison to others, and we say, oh, I'm pretty strong and able right now. I'm pretty intelligent and quick with my mind right now by comparison to all these people. And so we draw a false confidence by comparing to others, even as, for instance, the Jews in Romans chapter 2, as an example for all of our fleshliness and spiritual pride, will draw false confidence not about physical strength and mental ability, but even spiritual goodness and piety by comparison to others. And what a dreadful thing it is to have this pride in comparison to others that is married to being confident in self and not feeling our neediness of God. And one of the things that they find if they do not remember their Creator in the day of their youth is that when old age comes and things start breaking down, like we read at the end of Ecclesiastes, those are the evil days in which there is no pleasure. But if we do remember our Creator, then we find that we have strength and life and vitality, even in old age. He is all our life and strength and hope in this, in a physical sense, in this world, and in a spiritual sense as well. So he remembers all the way back to, he pushes back his memory past stronger days to days in which he was even weaker than he is now. Look at verse 5. You are my hope, O Lord Yahweh, you are my trust from my youth. And then he pushes back further in verse 6. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. Remember how completely helpless we began. And the Lord was our strength. The Lord was our help. He oversaw all things for our good at that point. And so if we remember that we began in utter helplessness, and yet the Lord was caring for us and holding us up and guiding us, as it were, even you are he who took me out of my mother's womb, that will be a great help to us in old age. Now, most of you are not utterly helpless babies, or in the weakness of old age, you are in a season of great danger. The illusion of strength and wisdom. One of the things that troubles me much when I interact with someone who's in their late teens or early 20s in the churches is there are some who have learned by God's grace and mercy to them, applying his word, applying the gospel to them, to be full of how good Christ is, how strong Christ is, how sweet Christ is, how faithful Christ is. They see him, even at that age, as the one who has been all of their hope and all of their help from birth. Praise God, that's true in some cases, but in many more cases, something happens as they are coming into their own, getting ready to make their way in the world, and that is, they are full of all the things that they see in themselves, or that they want to do, or they think they can do. You hear very little of the praise of Christ as the one who is sustaining them in their helplessness and foolishness and sinfulness. Often, especially in if it doesn't get corrected quickly, in the early and mid-20s, there's a great arrogance, and it's so dangerous. And one of the things that it will lead to as a ordinary consequence in God's providence is great discouragement when you reach middle age and realize that you're heading for the weakness of old age and that you are unable to accomplish much in this world that would not be immediately overturned and destroyed, just like Proverbs warned you, just like Ecclesiastes warned you. Then people have a midlife crisis, and then they come to old age, and the time is gone, and the life has been spent, and the results are unsatisfactory, and the ability is gone, and those are the evil days. So it shouldn't be surprising that the same thing that is the solution for what the world calls the terrible twos, and the same thing that is the solution for what the world calls the rebelliousness of the teenage years, and the same thing that is the solution for what the world calls the midlife crisis, and the same thing that is the solution for what the world dreads in the feebleness of old age, is the thing that is the solution to what the world loves in the arrogance of the late teens and early 20s, because of the humanistic mindset that rejoices in the greatness of man and denies the glory of God. The solution to all those things is to know that God alone is good. God alone is powerful. God alone is righteous. God is accomplishing all of his holy will. He is taking care of us. And so there is this humility that we need in looking back, and the humility that we need about ourselves in the present that will result in hope and security and comfort and joy in old age. But you don't have to wait until old age for, of course. God is all of those things to the one who hopes in him even now. And if he is the only good and great and glorious one, that means you'd be responding to him with praise. And how wonderful is the praise that you will have if the Lord spares you, and you were in this world a very long time, and you praised him when you were as young as Sophia, and you praised him for all of his goodness and all of his power, and you praised him when you were a little bit older, like the rest of you, and you praised him when you got to be in your late teens, and early 20s, and into your 30s. You praised him when you were moms and my age. You will have spent a lifetime praising him, and then you can be like Polycarp, who at the end, when they're trying to get him under threat of his life to spare himself in the weakness of his old age, you can imagine how an elderly person might have been frightened of what they were going to do with him. He had no reason to be frightened. The God whom he had known as his Savior for over 80 years was still his God and his strength and his hope and his joy. And all he wanted to do was praise him. And they urged him to deny him, and they gave him the opportunity to praise him before an arena full of people and testify that the Lord had done him good his whole life long, and that he would not deny him now. So may the Lord grant to us to make good use of when our enemies seem strong and the situation seems hard and it is beyond our ability. Because that is always the case. It's not something that becomes the case in our old age. And we should be grateful when we're in situations that seem to, that are over our heads and threaten to drown us or suffocate us. Because it's throwing us back upon our God, who alone is our strength and our goodness. Father, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you for your wisdom and the seasons of life through which you bring us, and how it begins with the helplessness in the womb and at birth. We pray, Lord, that you'd give us humility about ourselves, but more than that, that you would make us full of how great and glorious you are, that you are our rock and our fortress, our hope. We pray that you would fill our mouths with your praise and your glory all the day, so that when we come into seasons of attack, you will have prepared our hearts and minds. And we pray that in seasons of difficulty and attack, you would remind us of that which we should have known the whole time, and that you would make us to bless your name for an opportunity to be humbled and to remember again your faithfulness and your goodness and your strength and your glory. We praise you for these. In Jesus' name, amen.